Jesuits Worldwide Resources, EWTN presents a truly global perspective of our Catholic faith. We welcome you to the Catholic Sphere. I'm Brian Patrick. This week, we're discussing a very difficult but timely subject, finding hope in a chaotic world scarred by violence and war. We greet our newest contributor this week and welcome back a familiar face. Father Robert Zollwin is a La Salette missionary priest from Myanmar. He is serving now at a parish in Atlanta, Georgia. We appreciate you joining us, Father Robert. And Father Benedict Keeley, we've had on before. He is an advocate for persecuted Christians. He is from the UK, joining us from Long Island, New York this week. And we welcome back Father Andriy Zelinsky, a military chaplain in Kyiv, Ukraine. So our contributors are representing very different parts of the world, struggling with war and violence. I want to show you a map that depicts the locations of each of these areas of the world that we're talking about. We're going to start with Father Robert. You are from Myanmar. It's also called Burma. Why the two names?
In 1962, after General Nguyen took over, he changed the name of the country into the Socialist Union of Myanmar. And from that moment on, from that day on, the country is called Myanmar. But because of violations of human rights, people prefer not to call Burma Myanmar.
All right, so we're accurate to call it either Burma or Myanmar, but I understand why people from Burma would prefer Burma. The UN General Assembly just recently passed a resolution condemning this latest military takeover. Now, you know a lot of people there. What is life like for them under this latest military rule, Father?
So under any dictatorial rule, we have no freedom. You cannot express yourself. You cannot go anywhere freely. You can be checked and arrested, or they can break into your house. Recently, they just raided churches, arrest people, and whoever is under suspicion can be arrested. So, let alone religious activities, everything can be in danger, even your own lives.
You must feel very torn right now, Father, because here you are in the United States ministering to a parish, and I know you have a large Burmese population there, but knowing that your brothers and sisters in Burma or Myanmar cannot practice their faith and are concerned for their lives, that must weigh heavily on your heart.
Yes, it's very disheartening. On the day the coup took place, friends of mine called me up and
It's okay.
Actually, we all cried together. I myself thought that the younger generation would never experience tyrannical rule. But as of now, we are still hoping that people, innocent people, will be safe. And in this day and age, who would have thought that atrocities will be committed by some people against the innocent?
Well, that word hope is what we're going to focus on throughout the show today. But Father Zelinsky, tell us about your experience there, where Russia and Ukraine have been in a bitter war for quite some time. Your experience as a military chaplain.
Well, first of all, we should mention that since March 2014, some territory of Ukraine, especially the Crimean Peninsula, and some territories in the eastern part of the country were occupied by the Russian troops and by the Russian-supported rebels with the Russian tanks and artillery. And ever since, that is, once again, I remind you, 2014, so we now have the seventh year of the Russian military aggression against Ukraine. So since that day, we lost approximately 13,000 people altogether, and among whom more than 3,000 military. And we used to enjoy a peaceful country. We used to be even maybe proud to be a very peaceful nation in Europe that hasn't remembered war since the end of World War II. And that was quite a surprise for many of us, for the whole nation. But since then, 7% of our territory is being occupied by the Russian troops, and the Ukrainian army is still, the Ukrainian people are still trying to defend their own homeland, not to let the Russian military, the Russian tanks move forward.
And as a military chaplain, Father, what is your role? What do you do in this situation?
Usually, that's exactly. It sounds very much like the theme of our meeting today. That is to be a man of hope. In the context of utter violence, maybe this may be the most important and the most significant role of the military chaplain, to grant people hope, to let them be also those who fight for hope. And the experience or the lesson that I learned in the war trenches is, of course, that hope comes together with truth. And as soon as we start to distort truth, especially in the contemporary world, in the world where we trust that we can construct truth, so it's a very, very dangerous thing to do. And as a result, we can experience what we experience. I mean, we can experience war. So no games with truth. Hope depends on our, I would usually say, courage and also our humility to face the truth.
And our faith in Jesus Christ. Certainly we'll get more into that in depth in just a little bit. But Father Benedict, you've traveled to Iraq and Syria. Those areas have been torn by war. You've been there several times in the past few years. Tell us about what you're seeing with Christians there. Are they finding any hope now?
Thank you, Brian. Yes, I've been to Iraq 7 times and to Syria and Lebanon. The situation in some ways, certainly in Iraq, is slightly better. Syria is terrible. And of course, COVID has affected them terribly. Syria in particular is being affected by the international sanctions. And so it's very, very serious. Their people are, the Christian population, remember, of Syria was about 10%. The faith in a sense almost began in Syria. Pentecost, we hear of the Syrians, the Lord and his disciples walked there. People are almost starving. The international sanctions are denying them both food and medicine and gas, petrol. People are struggling. A little anecdote, for example, is when I was in Damascus just over a year ago, I noticed there were many, many cats. The Arabs like cats. They don't really like dogs. But apparently a friend of mine told me now all the cats are starving because people used to leave the little titbits out for the cats. And so they need hope, and they need, one of the most important things is they need to know the people in the West, the Christians, our brothers and sisters in the West, care about them and pray about them. And often they feel, I've been told many, many times, that they actually feel abandoned by Christians in the West.
Certainly there's a lot of persecution in Africa as well. We will talk about that a little later on in the show. Coming up, the light of Christ shines through the darkness, finding hope as the Catholic Sphere continues on EWTN, the Global Catholic Network. Appreciate you joining us this week for the Catholic Sphere, EWTN's weekly global perspective of our Catholic faith. I'm Brian Patrick. We're blessed to be joined by Father Robert Zalwin in Georgia, Father Andrei Zelinsky in Kyiv, Ukraine, and Father Benedict Keeley from Long Island, New York. Father is from England, and in the midst of hope and chaos of war, we want to watch part of a documentary about Father Vincent Cappadano. He was a U.S. Navy chaplain assigned to a Marine Corps infantry unit during the Vietnam War, bringing God's mercy into the heat of battle.
Like a lot of Marines face to face with death, fallen away Catholic Henry Hernandez had decided it was time to come back to his faith.
I was on my second tour of Vietnam, and why I was there I really didn't know, but I knew that I might not make it back. So I wanted to get close to God and be ready. So if the moment came, I would be prepared. So I decided to go to confession and go to church. So I got in line. When I got closer, Father Cappadano is sitting on top of empty ammo boxes, and the Marine is kneeling right in front of him. And I didn't know if I could do this. I said, we're going to make eye contact. I felt embarrassed, ashamed. I had been away from the church for over a year since my last confession. So I was going to get out of line, but something kept me there. The next thing I knew, there was only one more Marine in front of me. So I said, well, I'll get ready. So I made a plan. I said, when I walk over to him, I'm going to look down at his boots, make the sign of the cross, and do not make eye contact with him.
Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been...
I'll help you with your confession. What have you seen?
I've been so angry. I hate the enemy so much. It's my second tour, and all my friends have been killed.
We will see things here that we will never forget, son. God is with us today and all days.
He said, but you have to pray for your enemy.
Pray for your enemy.
That's what he used to tell me. And I used to say, how can I pray for the VC? How can I pray for the MVA, you know? But then later on in life, I remember, you know, even in the Bible, it says, love thy enemy. To this day, I don't know what made me looked up. I looked up to him, that piercing eyes that he had. I knew he could see right through me.
Do you have a rosary for your penance?
No, Father,
And I said, Father,
I do not have a rosary.
I do not have a rosary. And he just reached in his pocket.
You do now.
And he gave me his rosary.
Henry Hernandez carries the rosary Father Vincent gave him to this day.
What a powerful story. You can watch the full documentary, Called and Chosen, here on EWTN. So, Father Zielinski in Kyiv, since you are a military chaplain, let's talk a little bit about the sacrament of confession, especially among men who are in the midst of battle. You heard that young man say, how can I pray for my enemy? I'm trained to kill him. How do you deal with such a situation?
One of the most difficult tasks of a military chaplain in the theater, in the battlefield, is to help a person to return to his or her humanity. It is the place, it is the space being blessed by God, by His grace. And it is so important to create those spaces, those moments when a soldier can feel once again to be a real human person who's there to defend, who's there to defend life itself, no? So it's so important to help those people once again to feel the richness of their humanity. And faith is maybe the straightest way to this treasure, to our humanity. And it is prayer. And I remember so many rosaries being distributed, especially during these 6 years of war. I spent more than 3 years in trenches. And of course, maybe for the rest of the world, it seems a bit out of date, the documentary we're just seeing. But this is exactly how it looks like right now in the east of Ukraine. Once again, military trenches, once again, tanks, once again, people being killed, young soldiers, young officers, very nice, very, very pure and dedicated people are being killed. And it is so important not to, as I said, not to distort the truth. The truth is that humanity is still wounded, is still bleeding, is still suffering. And the job of a military chaplain is to be where it is, where it hurts, where it really hurts, to help a human person once again to feel the richness of his or her humanity blessed by God through prayer, through sacraments, and especially through confession.
Father Benedict, you're an outside priest going into a war-torn area. How do you bring hope to the persecuted Christians there?
Well, one of the first things is it's very simple. When you visit, and especially if you visit many times, quite a lot of people visit maybe once and disappear, but when you visit many times, they really realize that they are not forgotten. As I said in the earlier segment, often they feel forgotten or abandoned. But it's very simple. It's that personal touch that we're bringing as a priest, which is also quite different when you come in as a priest, not just a member of a charity or an NGO. You are showing that the church in the West does care. And the promise of prayer, I mean, without being pious, that promise of prayer is critical. I've been asked multiple times since I first went to Iraq in 2015 and then in Syria, please pray for us. And we promise to pray, but often, of course, we maybe only pray once or twice a couple of months at Mass. And yeah. I always ask people when I speak in parishes like I'm doing at the moment in New York, promise to pray every single day for our persecuted brothers and sisters. Either we believe in the power of prayer or we don't. And the power of prayer changes things. And that is a very hopeful message for the people suffering in the Middle East.
Persevere in prayer for the persecuted. That's a good way to remember it. Father, mention a little bit about the persecuted Christians in Africa on that continent.
Well, this is a tragic situation that's unfolding in Africa, all across Africa. Not, I would say, barely being covered by the mainstream media, not being covered at all. For example, this year alone, already, we have lost more than at least 2,000 Christians just in Nigeria alone, murdered by jihadists, men, women, and children being burnt alive, their villages being burnt down and destroyed, churches destroyed. But it's not just in Nigeria, it's across Africa. Jihad, the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, whatever you want to call them, they are growing exponentially in Africa. It's a major problem for a very young and healthy church, a beautiful church. Many people in the United States will be served by African priests. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage some of their parishioners to go. And the African priests are very quiet men, good men. When you speak to some of these African priests, they will tell you the story of what's going on in their own country. It's tragic, and it must have more attention from the world, from the mainstream media, and I have to say, from the administration.
Well, let's make that connection that Father talked about. Father Robert, a civil war in your country has raged for decades. What did you experience when you were in Burma?
It's really scary. So I had one experience. I was about to celebrate Easter Mass, Sunday Mass. The parishioners said, Father, we have to celebrate it at 3 p.m. because of the curfew. So everybody should get home before the sun sets, because the curfew begins at sunset and ends only at sunrise. So it's really scary, but the people never lose hope. They believe in the power of prayer. Even now in our parish here, we pray for them every day, especially Sunday in the Sunday liturgies. It is scary, and I can only imagine how scared the elderly, the children, and in the midst of pandemic, it is really sad.
Well, we appreciate you sharing your personal experience there. And coming up, the hope of healing and our spiritual challenges for this week as the Catholic Sphere continues here on EWTN. Thanks for joining us for the Catholic Sphere on EWTN. I'm Brian Patrick. Father Benedict Keeley is joining us this week from Long Island, New York. Burmese native Father Robert Zaw Nguyen is joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. And Father Andriy Zielinski from Kiev, Ukraine. So, Father Ben, you do extensive work with refugees and people fleeing from economic restraints as well. Tell us about your ministry and how you are advocating for Christians.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Brian. My ministry as a priest is principally and actually solely this, very much what I'm doing at the moment, speaking, preaching, writing about the persecuted, trying to get our Catholic and Christian people to remember to pray, to advocate, and to help them by charity. Specifically, my little charity has a very focused area, which is mini microfinancing. One of the most important things is to keep people in their own countries. They don't want to leave, and if they don't have to leave, they want to stay, but they need jobs. Security I can't do much about. So what we do is we basically give a small, it's not a loan, we donate between $8,000 to $10,000, which is really a very small amount, and that allows a family to start a business, build a business. And so we've managed to do that so far in Iraq and in Syria and in Lebanon. And that gives, it's not just one family, that spreads, and that keeps people in their own home, in their own land, keeps Christians in the Holy Land of the Middle East. and it allows them to not just survive, but to thrive. So it's, and it gives them dignity. It's not just charity. They're working, and they're all successful so far. It's a real blessing.
That's great. In our global economy connected through the internet, is there any way that we here in the United States can actually support those young businesses?
Well, I hate to push my own charity, but yes, you go to my website, you see one of the things is because we're very small, and people like being connected with something small, you can see the pictures of the families, you can see the little bit of news about the businesses, and as I say, the small amount of money really connects. And one of the reasons I try and travel there is to make sure that the money is actually going where it's meant to go. It's not lost in some vast bureaucracy, unfortunately, which we know happens with many charities. So yeah, it's very small, but small is beautiful.
That can happen quite often throughout the world. Father Robert, Atlanta has the largest number of Burmese Catholic refugees of any U.S. city. I wonder how they're dealing with the unrest in your home country right now.
So emotionally, they are struggling a lot. I have to talk to them almost every week, encouraging them and strengthening their faith and not to lose hope. I told them God will straighten things out in His time. But for the meantime, they want to know how they can help. But since the humanitarian aid has been cut off, we can't do anything from here. The only thing we could do is pray for them, talk to them if possible. Internet is on and off too. So we're trying our best, and we only say to one another, we only have one another. And even back home, we tell them the help is on the way. It may take time, but in the end, freedom and peace will reign.
And don't you celebrate Mass not only in your own parish there, but also for the Burmese congregations in other parishes?
Yeah, we make sure that we have a Burmese Mass every other month so that every family can come, because most adults and parents don't understand English, although their children were born here and raised here. So look at them, they came to our parish, and we only can pray for one another and encourage each other.
Father Andrzej Zielinski, we turn to you now. I love the saying that you shared with us the other day, faith heals when nothing else can heal. Could you expand on that for us?
I remember well once upon a time, or maybe 15 years ago, when I was serving as a military chaplain in the Army Academy of Ukraine, we had a march, 40-mile-long march, and we had to, it was an exhausting distance in those days, early morning. And I remember myself praying for the soldiers, for the cadet officers. We were walking together. And I remember suddenly there was one big guy standing next to me and saying, "Father, what are you doing? Are you thinking about something, reflecting about something?" "Yes," Kirill, I said. "Father, are you praying?" "Yes," Kirill, I said. And then his answer was, "Father, may I walk along with you, because it's easier for me to deal with this distance while there is somebody praying next to me." And so we did. We made it. And unfortunately, years passed, we met in the war zone. And as I said, unfortunately, we did this wait together up until the end. I remember myself being the only one accompanying the coffin with the body of Cyril 10 years afterwards, when he was killed in the war zone. So it's about faith that provides hope when it's difficult. And it's about faith that provides hope when there is nobody to lean upon. And especially, I remember his family, the family of a young officer, Ukrainian officer, leaning upon his shoulders, father, mother, brother, wife, all together, just expecting, just having nothing else but hope to deal with this pain, with the pain of loss of a very bright, very nice, very, 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 I'd say, great person who... Yeah, give his life for this country.
Thank you. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Christ, Father. Each week here on the Catholic Sphere, we offer a challenge or a meditation, a personal challenge. I want to remind myself and maybe challenge you also. You know, we say, God bless America. Let's acknowledge God has blessed America and ask God to bless all of those around the world who long for the freedoms that we enjoy. Father Robert, what's your quick challenge?
My challenge is how to convince people and preach about fundamental human rights, whether you are Christian, Muslim, Hindu, or non-believer. You have God-given fundamental human rights.
We are all children of God. Father Zelensky.
I would ask for one Hail Mary during a week for those mothers and fathers who lost their sons and daughters in battlefield.
And Father Ben, what is yours?
I would echo Father's call for prayer, daily prayer for the persecuted, but also I'd encourage our listeners and viewers to connect with their Catholic history. There have been, for example, 6 Syrian popes. Often we forget that our birth, our roots, are in the Middle East, in the Holy Land of the Middle East. So I would challenge Catholics and Christians to connect with their history.
Thank you. Father Benedict Keeley joining us from Long Island, New York. Father Robert Zalwin joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. And Father Andriy Zelensky from Kiev, Ukraine. I'm Brian Patrick, inviting you to join us next week as we talk with more contributors on the Catholic sphere here on EWTN.